Hello and welcome to the 250. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Kayla.
And this week we watched Elephant Man. If we sound a little different, a little clearer, a little fancier, because we're on the new recording equipment.
If we also sound older and wiser, it's because we have not recorded this podcast in a minute.
Some people have been busy. I don't really know why you're putting on blast right now, but here we are. I've been busy. We're back. We're watching The Elephant Man like we said we would. I don't know why you're trying to be salty about this. So, yeah. So this week we watched David Lynch's The Elephant Man. I should have looked up what number it is. See,
I'm going to guess 176.
Well, you would be 148. You were close.
Oh, that's pretty good.
148, yeah. So the film was released in 1980. It's about a man named, in the movie his name is John Merrick, in real life his name was Joseph Merrick, and he was born with certain deformities, a lot of deformities. Is that the correct?
Actually, he was not born with them.
In the movie, he was born. I feel like they.
I don't know.
I don't think they really.
They really. It's more like inspired by a true story. They took liberties.
I mean, it's really like pretty similar, I would say. But anyway, yeah. So he, and it was back in like the old London
in
days.
In the 1800s
when they like, you know, like took mummies and like opened them up just for shits and giggles. So
that's a thing.
Yeah,
that's rude.
That's why a lot of the mummies are gone, because like high society London people would have like legit parties and like eat parts of the mummy, because they're like, isn't this amazing?
That's nasty,
right? Yeah, London was crazy. Anyway, so at the start of the movie, he's in a freak show, because back in the day that's what they did to people who were different. And then he gets picked up by Anthony Hopkins' character. We should know his name.
Treves.
Yeah.
Dr. Treves.
Yeah, Frederick Treves. And he kind of gets introduced to high society and gets a better life because Frederick whisked him away.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. So, like, I read the history.com page on Joseph Merrick, so I would consider myself an expert.
Yeah, that's what that means.
So basically, in real life, Joseph was born a normal boy. And then as he grew into adolescence, he had like a bone deformity, like tumors basically growing off of his bones. And like, that's when his like head changed and all those kinds of things. And then he was working in like a cigar rolling factory or something like that. And his like deformities were starting to like get in the way of his work. And then his father was like abusive because he wasn't earning enough money. So then he like essentially left his family and like was like, okay, here's how I'll make money. I'll be a part of a freak show.
Yeah, he like voluntarily, in real life, he like voluntarily joined a freak show.
Which I think is interesting.
Yeah, he had a lot more agency in real life than they give him in the movie. Which I really like. Which I like about the real life story.
Yeah, I'm a real big fan of reality. which I also think says a lot, because like, in watching like the trailer and like the tagline for the movie is like a story of human dignity, but like the way they like set it up, I think it begs more of a question of like who deserves human dignity the way that they set it up, as opposed to the way it actually went down.
Yeah.
Because in the movie he's portrayed as helpless and gentle, which I'm sure he was in real life, and like this like intellectual mind, whereas like in real life, like, Treves, I don't think, played as much as a role in, like, saving him. It was more, like, just a bunch of different circumstances that just kind of held together.
Yeah, and I feel like in the movie, his character is much more, like, at the, even, like, from the beginning, he's, like, towards the end, he gets to be more intellectual and, like, he, like, talks more. But at the beginning, he's just, like, this very quiet, like, abused, almost, like, creature.
Yeah.
At the beginning, and he doesn't have like any agency, and he doesn't like, you doubt that he can talk and if he has any like mental disabilities and stuff like that. But as time goes on, they like develop, like,
and he feels
like,
safe
with the help of Frederick. He feels safe and can come out of his shell.
Flourish, yes. Which, yeah, is just a very interesting thing, because like when you break it down, it's like, just because he looks weird doesn't mean he can't be a good person.
That's beautiful.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're like, that's kind of what you get at the core of the movie, but it's also like, what if he was a little bit of a jerk? Would then it be okay?
Are you saying like that's what should have happened?
No. That's not what I'm saying, but I think like, I watched this movie a while ago, and then I was like revisiting it today to like come back and talk about it. And like what I just kept thinking about was like, if he was like not this like intellectual sweet man, like how would this movie play out? Because like there are emotional scenes where you feel so deeply for him, yeah, and all these things.
I don't know what the movie would be about then.
Yeah. I don't know. This is just something I just started thinking about.
Like, how would that change
hours.
The movie if he didn't turn out to be this like very lovely?
What if he never spoke?
What if he never? I mean, he probably still deserves
exactly
a shred of human dignity. Exactly. But that's not how the story went down.
That's true.
I think is part of it. And I think what more the movie is talking about, and like, it's less about. I think one of the bigger themes in the movie is less about like, he looks different, therefore he deserves human dignity. Because I feel like that's the very surface level, but I feel like it's also, like, how other people look at him, like, the gaze, if you will. Because, like, at the beginning, he's at a freak show, and people come and pay to see him and, like, kind of ridicule him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Frederick finds him, and he's like, oh, I'm going to help him. And he immediately just takes him to, like, a medical conference, yeah, where everyone can just, like, stare at him in horror. Which I also found interesting that, like, a lot of the time, like, in, like, the first shot of the movie is his mom's eyes. Like,
mm-hmm,
it's about, like, people looking at him and kind of, like, casting their gaze on him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, not understanding that he actually has, like, an inner life and is, like, a person.
A complex human.
A complex,
yeah,
human. Because so he takes him to the medical conference and he's, like, you only see him in shadow and people are, like, horrified and they're, like, what? And then, like, the people of the Society of London come, and you're like, oh, he's making friends. But it does have this kind of, like, sinister angle of, like, people being like, oh, I did meet the Elephant Man. It was amazing.
Yeah, he becomes, like, a tool of posh society.
Yeah, like, if you're the coolest if you got to talk to the Elephant Man.
Yeah.
Like, it's never really about, like, his friendship with these people. It's these people coming to him and almost using him.
Uh-huh.
And that's not to say, like, his life didn't benefit from it, because, like, it did. Like, he got to stay in a hospital for free with people who actually cared for him. Like, I do believe, like, Anthony Hopkins' portrayal of Frederick, like, was very caring, and his, mm-hmm, wife and, like, all the nurses ended up, like, really caring for him. And then you also see the kind of lower caste of London coming in and, like, being much worse to him, but also doing the same thing that, mm-hmm, these, like, higher society people are doing to him, and that, like, they're, like, subjecting him to their gaze and, like, only really caring about being able to have seen him and not, mm-hmm, really seeing him as a human being. Which I thought was really good.
Yeah, I agree with that. But can we talk about those scenes with the, you know, the mean lower?
That was sad.
That was sad.
Heartbreaking. That.
I was, like, so upset. Like, I don't know why.
So there's a scene where, if you haven't seen it, which, what are you doing here? But also, thank you for listening.
Also, spoiler alert. He doesn't really look that much like an elephant, if we're being
okay,
real.
Yeah, the story is, like, I think it's, like, one of those, like, freak show stories or whatever. They're like, he came from blah, blah, blah. And it's, like, apparently his mom, like, the story was, like, his mom was attacked by an elephant as he was when he was a child. So he, like, got all, that's how, where all of his, like, deformities came from.
See, that makes sense, because I was just
so
a little disappointed.
He's the
I was
elephant
like,
man.
Where's the, because you don't really see him until, like, halfway through the,
yeah,
movie. Which I question, was that, like, a directorial choice?
Or was it, like, the makeup artist being like,
I can't do this.
No, well, first of all, apparently the movie was up for a bunch of Oscars, Best Picture, like, Best Actor, all of that. The people who did the makeup in the movie didn't get recognition because that Oscar wasn't made yet.
Mm-hmm.
So the next year they made the best, like, hair and makeup production because of The Elephant Man.
That's
so
fair.
I think the movie was made by David Lynch. And David Lynch did Twin Peaks. And I forget what else he did, but Twin Peaks is, like, he's done a lot. Blue Velvet, he's David Lynch,
mm-hmm,
basically. And I think a lot of his stuff is very intentional because he does go for the very weird. Like, Twin Peaks is, like famous and, like, that's what Twin Peaks is known for. It's for being kind of, like, very weird and kind of hard to understand and kind of dense. So I don't necessarily think that it was because the makeup artist didn't want to. Like, I really feel like, I think from the beginning, when they kind of only flashed to him at the beginning, I was like, I feel like we're not going to see his face for a really,
yeah,
long time. Like, I felt that.
But anyway, what we were talking about before, there's a scene. So essentially, not Joseph, John in the movie, is staying at the hospital and things are getting better for him. And there's this security guard, I think is his role.
He's like a janitor or something.
Whatever yeah. he does. He works in the hospital. And he basically starts selling tickets to go see him.
Yeah.
And they basically just go in and, like, mess with him for a while.
It's really sad. They're all, like, drunk, and they're, like, spinning him around his room. They're like, haha, you're ugly, and these girls are, like, assaulting him while also being assaulted by this old gross guy.
Yeah.
And then, like, the nurses are very clear about not having mirrors in the room because, like, they don't want him to see himself.
Yeah.
Which I also think is interesting.
Because, once again, it's that lacking agency thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's lacking agency, and, like, he does have this, like, really strong need to be, or, like, want to be, like, a normal person. Like, he has those pictures of people
mm-hmm.
laying. He has to sleep upright because of his head, and so, like, he has those pictures of a person, like, laying on their side sleeping. So mm-hmm. he does have this yearning to be, like, a quote-unquote normal person. And so I think that's why the mirror, but, like, the people, the lower caste people of London come in and think it's hilarious to, like, show him his reflection for the mm-hmm. first time, which is, like, really sad.
And he, like, screams.
Yeah.
And you're just like, buddy. Especially because I think at that point in the movie, like, the first time you see him, you're like, oh, wow.
Honestly, I was, not to be awful, but, like, I was eating at the beginning, and I was like, I can't watch this and eat. I feel awful, but, like, it's just not a good time for me.
The first time you see him, you're like, ooh, buddy. But then, like, as the time goes on, you just kind of get used to it. And at that point when they, like, show him his face is when you've, like, to a certain extent forgotten, like, yeah. what he looks like in comparison. Yeah. And then you're just like,
no, it's that part in the part where he comes back from, like, Bill. Oh, when he, like, he gets locked. He goes back to the freak show because he gets stolen away.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets locked in the cage and the people set him free. And he comes home and, like, someone recognizes him as the Elephant Man. And people are, like, running and chasing him. And then he's, like, in a bathroom and they've, like, cornered him. And he's like, I'm a human being. And you're like, I'm not an elephant. And you're like, oh, my God, you're not
an animal.
You're a person. You have agency.
People are cruel. Like, there were actual, like, I wasn't expecting to, like, be actually emotional at parts of this movie, but I definitely was. Because, like, even though, like, they probably took liberties and, like, gave him less agency than he really did in real life, it worked, man. It
worked on you.
Yeah. But then, okay, at the end, also, if you haven't seen the movie, sorry, but you should.
I feel like unwritten rule of the 250. Maybe try and watch the movie.
Or don't get mad if we spoil it.
Yeah. It's a movie podcast.
He dies at the end. And in the movie, the final scene,
I think it's the same.
It's not in the movie, they make it seem intentional to a certain extent, whereas in real life they pretty much think it was an accident. So what happens is, in the movie, the final scene, he, like, finishes his... He has this cathedral he makes out of, like, wood or something.
I can't really tell. The movie's all shot in black and white, also. Yeah.
Side note. He has this, like, cathedral and he, like, finishes it in the last scene. And then he, like, is, like, marveling at it. And then he turns to see, as Ingel mentioned, he has pictures, like, drawings of people sleeping in beds, like, with their heads down. And he turns and sees the image. And then he walks over to his bed and pulls off all the pillows that were, like, keeping him upright while he slept. And then, like, lays down in the bed. Yeah. And then, like, that's the last time you see him. And then there's, like, another little bit. But it's not
him. Very David Lynch montage, mother, fade out, fade in, space, God, something. Yeah.
Yeah. But in real life, essentially what they think happened is, like, he was sleeping. And then, like, by some, like, weird... like, just shift. I guess he moved in his sleep or something and his head fell back and then it, like, crushed his windpipe.
Oof.
So, yeah, like...
Yeah, well, what I read in Wikipedia, the most trustworthy of all sources, mm-hmm. is that they suspected that he might have been trying to sleep like a normal person.
Oh, buddy.
His head, right?
Sad. That's so sad if that's actually what happened.
Right? Like, he just wants to be...
But it's also like, bruv, you should know.
You should know. But then, you know, it's just like, what kind of life is that to be just like a spectacle for other people? I think is really the crux of the whole issue.
But isn't that what celebrity is?
Okay. Not particularly. But kind
of. I don't know, but kind of. Like, you could... It wouldn't be, like, that much of a stretch to, like, compare this movie to celebrity culture.
I mean, like, a little bit, but, like, I feel like celebrities have, like, slightly more agency and more, like...
But do they? Like, do, like, young celebrities who have, like, always been in this kind of industry their entire lives, who, like, have just been heard, like, pushed into this, and then they grow up into it, and people want to meet them for this reason of, like, being able to say that they've met them, but they don't necessarily know them, and you don't know if the people around you you can trust. Like, there's a lot of parallels there.
There are.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Yeah. I agree. I would agree.
Yeah, which I think is interesting in, like, watching this movie now.
Yeah.
Compared to, when was this made?
1980.
Yeah. Which
Baby
I guess...
Baby Anthony Hopkins, also.
Huh?
Side note.
Baby Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
And John Hurt.
Yeah.
As the Elephant Man.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think there are parallels there, and there are, like, lessons to, like, think about within, like, context of 2018.
Or just in general. Like, I feel like celebrity culture has always been like that. I think maybe it's more so because of the internet, and so, like, it's, like, 24/7. But, like, I feel like there have always been, like, celebrities that, like, couldn't catch a break, like Princess Diana and, like, Britney Spears. And, you know.
Hey, Britney Spears turned that around.
She did. But, like, part of the reason, I think a lot of the reason she, like, had her breakdown was because she'd been in the limelight for so long and she couldn't be left alone.
Yeah. And, like, is there, like, so the scene where he's, like, in the stall and he's like, I'm a human, I'm not an animal. Like, is there, like, a certain level of, like, as a celebrity, as, say, like, an actor or a singer or whatever.
Like, I'm not
of,
just,
like
a thing.
Yeah, to entertain
like
you.
Like, I'm not a character.
Like, yeah,
like,
I'm not a show for you.
Person, yeah.
Yeah. Which definitely gets lost in the age of, like, idolizing these people or hating these people. Also a theme in I, Tonya, which we saw together recently. Just
we did.
Building all these connections
okay.
for you.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what also I was thinking about today. I'm very happy I actually kind of had that time in between watching this movie and, like, revisiting it. What else happens?
Any other thoughts? I don't know. I thought Anthony Hopkins was very good. I really like Anthony Hopkins. I don't know why. Just, like, anytime I see him in something, I'm, like, delighted. And I don't know why. Like, he's played, like, Hannibal Lecter. He plays that evil dude in Westworld. Like, he's just...
Never seen either of those things.
You've never seen Silence of the Lambs?
No, I don't like horror.
Are you kidding me?
I don't like fear.
That was the first movie I ever did on this podcast. You've never seen Silence of the Lambs?
What makes you think I like feeling afraid?
But it's not like a horror movie. Like, it's a horror movie, but it's not like a horror movie.
Do you want to say horror movie one more time?
Okay, it's like, I don't know, listen to the 250 episode. Plug. But it's the first ever 250 episode.
First I just don't like fear. That's the one with, like, the skin thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
But it's not, like, there are no jump scares. It's, like, a little suspenseful, but there are no jump scares. It's a good, like... Like, you watched Get Out. It's, like...
Okay. Different conversation.
How is that different?
Because... Okay, my thing with horror movies is jump scares... Not that big of a deal to me, because it's, like, oh, and then... It's, like, oh, haha, you got me. We're fine. Two, like, ghosts and crap don't bother me that much. I don't believe in it. You know, if it's real, I'll probably be dead before I realize I was wrong. What scares me is crazy people, because crazy people
exist. Okay, what
exist.
Is Get Out about?
Do you have the technology to transfer Michelle's brain?
Clearly someone might.
Okay, the day that starts being a thing, I will be afraid of Get Out.
I'm just
right
saying
now,
that
I'm afraid of the
your logic
the
is
metaphorical resonance of Get Out, but the actual plot line of Get Out, I'm not too pressed, honestly.
All right, we're getting off topic. Do you have any other parting thoughts about Elephant Man?
I enjoyed it. I highly recommend. How long is it? I don't remember.
It's like 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's really not that long.
It's not too bad. It can feel a little slow at moments, I'll say.
It's a lot of Anthony Hopkins being like Anthony Hopkins, very upstanding and British. But no, I enjoyed it. I would recommend. I don't think it's my favorite movie we watched. I don't think it's my least favorite movie we'd watch at Untouchables. Intouchables.
Intouchables is a good movie, but whatever.
It's a bad movie.
It's a fun French movie.
It shouldn't be so high up on the list, is all I'm saying.
It's a touching film about
if you were making the movie with Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston, not a good movie. If Kevin Hart could fit comfortably in a role in a movie, not a 250 movie.
All I'm saying.
Kevin Hart is an American treasure. Thank you.
To you, maybe.
Oh, also, side note. That's really bringing us back to Elephant Man. Mm-hmm. Bradley Cooper starred in a Broadway revival of the play. Hoy Saxa.
Wait, who was he?
I think he was the Elephant Man.
Wow, that's so rude to cover up that face like that.
He's also an actor. He's a person. He's not just a face.
Okay. That has no relation to him being an actor. It's just he's a good-looking man.
Yeah. He's not a piece of meat.
Whatever. Wow, I didn't even know it was a play. That's pretty cool. How'd they do all that makeup every night? Wow. Yeah, I would definitely recommend. It's very moving, emotional, more emotional than anticipated. Very well acted. Shout out to John Hurt, who's only, only other John Hurt movie I've ever seen is Snowpiercer.
Is he? He is in that movie. He's I love me some Snowpiercer. That movie is so good. That should be on the 250. I would watch that in a heartbeat. Snowpiercer is a great movie. I watched that on a plane. I was like gasping all the time. That movie's good. They make a TV show out of it.
They are.
So ready.
Like, why? I think those are the two John Hurt movies that I've seen, which just really shows this man's range. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go John Hurt.
All right. Do you want to pick a new movie?
Yes.
Let's go. All right. Number 216.
I really want to be something recent.
The Maltese Falcon from 1941. Are you kidding? That movie's really good, though.
I forget. What is it? Hold on. Let me read you the synopsis. A private detective takes on a case that involves him with three eccentric criminals, a gorgeous liar, and their quest for a priceless statuette. This one's a classic. I haven't seen it, but I heard it's very good.
I just want, like, a
Humphrey
rom-com.
Bogart's in it? Ugh. Okay.
I've seen one Humphrey Bogart movie and I fell asleep. The African Queen? Is that one of his movies?
I've never heard of that.
I think that was it. I fell asleep. I can appreciate classic movies, but you know, sometimes you just want a good rom-com. Yeah, and that's what I'm feeling, but that's not what I'm getting. So it's okay.
I don't have to tell you. I don't really think there are any rom-coms on this list.
That's a crime, honestly.
I'm telling you, it's a very dude list. It's you know
is when Harry
get,
met Sally
like,
on
when
list?
Harry met Sally's. You're not gonna
that's,
get
that's rude.
You're not gonna get your like 27 dresses, which probably shouldn't
okay,
be on
that
there,
should
but
be
you know what
list.
I'm saying. You're not gonna get those. You're gonna get like Maltese Falcon and the top 10 of Lord of the Rings, Shawshank Redemption, Godfather 1, Godfather 2, Dark
okay,
Knight.
Those are good movies.
But like,
that's also a good
those
movie.
Are the top 10.
Yeah,
like it's a skewed sample. Is what
women,
I'm saying.
Women get on IMDb, do some
Let's
ratings.
Just go.
Let's.
The French contingent's out here voting for Untouchables. Like
everyone loves Untouchables.
Not everyone.
All I'm saying is especially. 2018, the year of the woman. Get out there, ladies.
Yeah,
get on
this
IMDb.
Is the hill we die on. IMDb ratings.
Hey, every step is important.
Okay. We're going to wrap this up. Listen to more Voice podcasts on the Voice Podcast Network or subscribe on iTunes. What else? Overcast, other podcasts, Stitcher.
Where all good podcasts are streamed.
Yeah, all those places. You can follow me on Twitter at DNHewitt96. I actually tweeted for the first time today in a long while because.
What'd you tweet?
Well, okay, so I was on the iTunes. It's very relevant, actually. It was on the iTunes podcast page, and it was like bingeable podcasts, and one of them was Hardcore History. And if you're a podcast person, you know that Hardcore History is literally a 5-hour podcast. Each episode is 5 hours, and I was like, iTunes, what? Excuse me?
I mean, that's one binge.
Let me just binge. No, it's 10 episodes of 5 hours each.
Oh my God.
Like just some dude like sounding like he's rambling on history, but like done all this deep background research. It's not a bingeable podcast, so I was like a little outraged, so I had to like at Apple Podcasts. But, you
read this list and you were like, let me set iTunes straight.
Yeah.
This is the issue I need to speak out about on Twitter.
I needed to speak. I need to speak on it. But anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at DNHewitt96. You can follow, I think the Georgetown Voice has a Twitter at GTown Voice, I believe. Follow Halftime on Facebook. Just look up Halftime. at Half Follow the Voice on Twitter, Facebook. Like the voice on Facebook. Just like, you know, support us. You know? Support our writers.
What else are you doing on social media anyway, right? Really?
Just fill your feed with the goodness of the voice. Exactly. You won't regret it. All right. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Kayla.
And we will see you next week.
We won't see you.
Goodbye. We will. Maltese Falcon.
Bye.